Blog Talk Radio.
No!
My guys, what? This is such an amazing time, moment for me. And my wife said the other day when I was talking to Rick in the car, she says, I've never seen you so excited to talk to someone you're interviewing. And I was like, this is my life right here. You have no idea. This is what I grew up listening to. This guy was so important in my development as a musician. So when I hear, man, I got tears in my eyes. This is real talk here. And so for me, it's a blessing to have Dr. Rick Wilson on the show with us today. It is a true honor and a privilege to talk to someone who led me without even knowing, right? That's why it's so important that we guide, that we do the right thing, because you never know who's following you. You never know who's listening to you. You never know who's depending on you, right, to do the right thing. And so this is a beautiful opportunity for me here and Solar Records Radio, for the whole team, for all of us to be able to interview this man today and talk about the legacy that he's he's a living legend, right? And the legacy of Mandrill. So we're going to do that real shortly here. You know, and normally you guys know what my format is, but I want to say hello to all of you guys around the world, all of our friends who've logged in and tuned in. Thank you so much for being a part of Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. I'll be your host today and truly appreciate you guys tuning in. And we are about to go into the interview. I just don't want to do anything else. I want to bring this man on because of who he is and what he's done for us. So I'm going to bring on right now, as we get going here, Dr. Rick Wilson. Are you there, sir?
I'm right here, Wardell. Thank you so much for the kind words, man. Really appreciate it. We have to give thanks to the Most High, and importantly, give thanks to the individuals that we were just listening to, some of the original members of Mandrill, the great keyboardist Claude Cave on that solo that we heard, Omar Mesa and the brothers, the Wilson brothers, Carlos Wilson, Louis Wilson, and myself, joined later by our fourth brother, Wilfredo Wilson. But you got to give thanks to all of those individuals. Fudgy K. Solomon, our bass player on that particular song. Just amazing group of musicians, the family of Mandrill from back in the day.
Wow, that is so awesome. And thank you so much for, making us aware of those individuals. We truly appreciate it. And I know I place a lot of emphasis on you, but you're here and you are, just talking to you the other day was such a blessing to me. And it's going to take me a minute to get over it, to be perfectly honest, because that's how important you guys, people, we sometimes don't realize that you have to be careful. When you are a leader, when you're out there, when you become an individual that others are looking at, because people are following you and they're learning and they make decisions based off of what others are doing. And that's because we are, a lot of us are young and we don't know yet. And so we're following the leader, so to speak. And so it's so important that the leaders are very, that they pay attention to that. And there's a lot of people to say, I'm not trying to be that for anybody else. I'm just trying to be myself. But you got to be careful because your movements affect other people all the time. And so I just want to say thank you for doing it the right way and being a blessing to all of us. We do appreciate you. And thank you for making the way for us. We appreciate that very much.
Wardell, greatly appreciate it also. Thank you so much.
I know that when you guys came up, when you guys were doing it, this was, right after Silver, all the stuff that was happening with the race stuff, and then people were doing what they were doing with the, I'm not sure what it, but I know it was just like we had all kind of difficult times going on socially. And you guys had to go to places that you weren't even welcomed at, to perform and do what you guys did for us. And so, but before we get off into that, because I do want to talk about that, I want you to kind of give us, like your story. How did you become who you are and end up, being a part of Mandrill and now, man, I call you doctor for a reason. And so you will explain all of that to us, hopefully. And take your time because it's your time. Just take your time. It's on you.
Yes. Wardell, first of all, thank you for doing what you do. You have been an amazing guide for other individuals coming up behind you as well, being associated with Solar Records, doing all of the stuff that you have done as well, setting an example for younger individuals coming up behind you. So you're following in that mode as well, and that's greatly appreciated. But we have to give so much thanks to our parents, to Wilfred and Doris Wilson, raised us. Mm-hmm. We were born in Panama. The Wilson brothers were born in Panama, and
wow.
We came to the United States when we were young. We came to Brooklyn, New York, and our parents were so important in terms of laying the foundation for us. First of all, allowing us to come to the United States with them, and then establishing a life in the United States. It wasn't an easy situation at all. My dad worked as a longshoreman. My mom worked as a beautician. She opened up her own beauty parlor in Brooklyn, New York, in Bed-Stuy. And that was important because when we started playing music, we were able to use her beauty parlor as a rehearsal studio. Her only requirement was that we leave the space cleaner than what we found it, that's what we did. But it allowed us to really get our act together musically, that was an important aspect of it. Our parents mm-hmm. really set a foundation for us to follow, just spiritually scholastically. Academics were important in our lives. Mm. It was school was important. We all went to elementary school in New York. We studied our academics. We also studied music, which is something that I have emphasized in the past. I believe, you had the opportunity to study music in public school as well. But that laid a foundation for all of us to do what we subsequently were able to do musically. My brothers, Carlos and Lou, were part of the orchestra, the All-City Orchestra in New York City. I was part of the band, in the orchestra as well.
Mm.
And we all had an opportunity to study music, and that's something that subsequently allowed us to do what we were able to do musically. So that's something that I am encouraging parents to try to influence the system to return music to the schools, because particularly in areas that are not particularly in certain areas, they have removed a lot of the music, the arts from
yes.
the schools, and that's not a good situation at all. And we have been trying to turn that around, try to influence that in any way that we can, just because of the fact that music is such an important part of our lives. The arts, not just music, but the arts, such an important part of our lives that we cannot take it out of our schools.
Yes, sir. And I really truly agree with you 100% about that, because you know that is something that you see, and it's like one of the first programs that they drop when they're having some kind of, you know, financial situation in a school district. I'm like, why? You understand, music is so, it's much more than just music. What it does, what it teaches children, discipline. It gives them something else to focus on. It helps them with their math, because they're dealing with all these, you know, it's so many dynamics that comes with learning how to read music, how to play music, you know, how to perform it. So when you take away music, you're taking away more than just the instruments from children. You're taking away, you know, just so much more. And I feel so bad because our children are being left behind when it comes to that part of what they should be learning as they're growing. And so I wanted to ask you, when your parents got you guys involved in music, were they musicians at all?
Well, my father back in Panama had a band. He played the guitar. My mom sang in a choir. That's how she was involved. And at home, you know, Dad played the guitar, taught each of us to learn certain chords on the guitar. Some of us got very proficient at that. My brother Carlos obviously became an amazing guitarist. My brother Lou also played the guitar. I stayed on the sax, and you know, could strum a couple of chords on the guitar, but not really a guitar player. But my other brother Wolf, you know, was a bass player. He learned to be proficient on the guitar as well. But that came from my dad, who was a guitarist, and as I said, and mom sang the choir. So we were surrounded by music when we were growing up. That was an important part of our environment. We weren't necessarily planning to become professional musicians. Academics were an important part of our circumstances. Our parents wanted us to be proficient in academics. School was an extremely important part of our lives. We were all encouraged to do the best that we could academically, and music was all a part of that. So we were blessed to have that environment, you know, and to have the encouragement from our parents to be the best that we could be, you know, and that's how we grew up.
Now, when you came from Panama, I don't know what your ages were, but was this around the time of the civil rights movement? What's going on?
Yes, it was. There were a couple of things. Shortly after we got here, we were involved in, well, as young boys, the civil rights movement was in full swing and has always been, you know, that hasn't really stopped. We're still in that mode.
I know.
And then subsequently, as we got older, then came the Vietnam War. That was a very big part of our lives. My brother Carlos served in Vietnam, was in the midst of the war, and we wrote a lot of songs. The whole first album, including the one whole side of the album, was dedicated to the Vietnam War. The song "Peace and Love" was based on the whole Vietnam War experience that was happening at the time. many of our folks were dying in the war, particularly young black and brown men, and Vietnam was such a serious situation in the entire society, you know, black and black and black, brown and white. And we were significantly influenced by that. Some of the words in the Peace and Love suite that we wrote on one whole side of an album, ever since this world of ours began, man's been killing off his fellow man, cursing and swearing and threatening the other side.
Yes.
As he waves flags and symbols saying peace to all mankind. The air is filled with the smell of hypocrisy while bloodied armies scream, screams of victory. Lying there in the mire is a mother and child, their anguished cries trampled by boots on either side. Now it's time, and I think you'll agree to love thy neighbor and set all men free. So take the shackles from the wings of the dying dove and permit her fly her way to peace and love. And that's that was an important part of our first album, you know, where we dealt with the situation that we were surrounded by as far as the Vietnam War was concerned.
Okay. Wow, that's heavy. Wow, thank you for sharing. By the way, I just want to let everyone know we also have Tony Quaid in the house with us as well. How you doing, Tony? You all right?
Man, no, I'm not all right. Let me tell you. I'm not all right, okay? As a matter of fact, I'm not all right.
Okay.
I'm sitting here with music, black soul world music, funk legacy between the two of you gentlemen, man. And I'm just soaking it up, man. I'm just along for the ride, man. But no, I'm seriously, hello to the Solar Records Radio family, Rick, Doc Wilson, and yourself, Waddell. You guys are
Thank you. You
guys are great, man. I'm just soaking it up, man. And listening to the two of you, between the two of you, you got so much that you guys have contributed and went into my life. You guys were talking about following the leaders. You know, I grew up on Mandrel Music and Solar Records. You know, so I'm just a product, man.
All right.
I'm just here along for the ride.
Well, amen to that.
Waddell, just want to say, give a shout out to Tony Quaid, who's been working with us behind the scenes, doing a lot of great stuff. You know, in terms of the whole social media landscape, Tony's been helping us with that. You know, particularly on this project and some of the previous projects as well. So, shout out to Tony Quaid.
Much love,
man.
Much love.
It's the least I could do, man. They tell me I ate paint chips when I was a baby, so I started listening to Mandrel. And then by the time I thought I was ready for the world, here comes Solar Records and Dynasty, and I hit me upside the other side of my head. So I'm glad to help keep this music alive and help both you gentlemen keep in relevant, as the young people say, that the things that you both are doing to keep this music alive and the contributions you made are not just in the past tense. So, Rick, no problem, man, and Wardell as well. Anything I can do to help the two of you continue on your journey, your missions, that's the least I can do. So I'm there.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tone. I really appreciate that. Rick, I wanted to ask you this. Okay, so you guys came together, your brothers came together as did you guys form a band, and how did the band come together? I guess you did, but how did it come together?
Well, we were involved in music in the schools, as I mentioned before, and I actually was involved when I was in junior high school. I started a group. This is without my brothers. I started a group in junior high school, had some individuals. There's an individual by the name of Trevor Lawrence. I played tenor sax in that particular group. It's a group called the Sharptones, and Trevor Lawrence was the baritone sax player in that group. Trevor went on to be an amazing musician. He toured with the Rolling Stones. He's still doing his his thing today, you know. And that just goes back to what we were talking about, the whole idea of music in the schools. Trevor became a major influence in music, playing with all of the groups that came into New York City as a session musician, but just doing amazing stuff. But I started with Trevor. We did a group with four other individuals and us. But then, you know, as time went on, my brothers and I put together a couple of groups before Mandrill. There was a group called Remedy, and then there was another group called Willpower, and then there was Mandrill. And, I was very fortunate to be working with my brothers, who were able to support me in terms of being a part of the group, because I was very much, when Mandrill started, academically, I was doing my internship at Cincinnati Hospital in Brooklyn, New York, and my brothers were able to support me. I could be available for all of the touring and all of that, and they were able to. They didn't tour without me. They waited for me to do what I had to do, and supported me in every way, and I have to take my hats off to my brothers for that. When Mandrill became, and we were very fortunate in that some of our early albums were regional breakouts, and we were touring with groups like the Chambers Brothers. We were touring with a bunch of other groups as well. We were playing, opening the show for Miles Davis. I remember we had an engagement at Fillmore West with Miles Davis that we couldn't avoid. You know, we had to do it. I was on call at the hospital, Kings County Hospital, and I had to commute for an entire week from Brooklyn to San Francisco to do the show, and then come back from San Francisco to Brooklyn to make rounds, because I couldn't get off. You know, I made rounds every morning at 8, then I had a limousine waiting for me to take me to the airport to get back to Fillmore West to do the gig. After the gig, I had a limousine waiting for me to take me back to Brooklyn to do my rounds. I did that for an entire week. But I was very fortunate that my brothers were able to support me for me to do what I had to do. If this was some other situation, that probably would not have been appreciated. But brothers knew how important medicine was to me and kind of hung in there and supported me. Totally. So I have to really thank them for being in my corner, you know, and being totally supportive of my life in medicine and in music.
Wow, that's an amazing story right there. And I want to back up again, because I really want to make sure I get this information in. First of all, you guys had the name Mandrill before you got signed. Is that true? Is that correct?
Yes, we did. The individual that came up with the name of Mandrill was Charlie Patro, our first drummer. When the individuals that were part of the first Mandrill group, Mandrill was started to, I placed an ad in the Village Voice, and we got Omar Mesa, our lead guitarist. We got Bundy Sinak, our bass player. We got Charlie Padro, the drummer, and then my brothers Carlos and Lou and I, and we came up with the name Mandrill, And then that's, we, you know, Charlie Padro was one of the, he saw a mandrel in Central Park and talked to us about coming to Central Park to see that mandrel, whose name was Ringo. And we all went to Central Park to look at this beautiful animal. It was Ringo, the mandrel at Central Park, and we decided that that was going to be our logo. And our first album cover, Ringo's face is on the cover.
Yes.
And then the rest was history beyond that. That's where the name came from.
Awesome. I mean, that's awesome. I love mandrel. I love what's his name again?
The name of the mandrel was Ringo. The other reason why we went with that name was the African roots of the mandrel. The mandrel is an African animal, and so that was an important part of the decision as well, because so much of our music is African Caribbean based. So that we thought that was, we were right at home with that, and we were able to make that our, you know, make that our name, and the rest is history.
I mean, that's my history too. I remember having the album and the poster on the wall, but never knew that that animal had a name until today. And, you know, and so that is that's so, you know, full circle and so beautiful for me. So thank you. I happen to be an animal lover, so now I that's why I wanted to know what his name was, just to show him some love too. And we know he's gone by now, but man, oh man, what a beautiful. How long do those animals live anyway?
You know, I'm not sure. I believe they're fairly, they live a fairly long life, but I'm not sure. I would be guessing to say that at this point.
Okay, so that in 1970, is that when you guys signed with Polydor?
We actually signed in 1968.
Okay, 1968.
But the first album was released in 1970, and we were, speaking of the first album, we were very, we were, quote, discovered by our producer at the time, Bo Ray Fleming, and we got the late Bo Ray Fleming played an important part of our history.
Mm.
Bo saw us. We did a community group saw us at the. I told you we rehearsed in my mom's beauty parlor in Bed-Stuy, and a community group called Nat's Coming for Nat Turner. A community group saw us playing in my mom's beauty parlor. We used to blow up the place on Marcy Avenue. We would have crowds outside of my mom's beauty parlor on Marcy Avenue when we were rehearsing, and part of that crowd was a members of a group called Nat's Coming, and they were doing a show at the Brooklyn Academy of Music with Oscar Brown Jr. as the headlining act, and they asked the mandrel to come to share the stage with Oscar Brown Jr. That was our very first. We played a lot of clubs. We were playing.
Right.
We played a lot of smaller clubs in the Brooklyn area, but that was the first concert environment that we were involved with. And we blew the place up. You know, it was just an amazing show. Oscar Brown Jr. was amazing, and we were his special guest. And Bo Ray Fleming and his associate at the time, Mitch Green, were in the audience. And they asked us to, to hook up with them, which we did. And they, Bo Ray Fleming is the individual that took us to Polydor Records initially. We did a demo at the Columbia Records Studio in New York City, in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And the individual who scheduled that apparently went away and didn't communicate with us for quite a while. So Bolray Fleming having the acetate, you know, the recording that we did all of the records, all of the songs on we did all of the songs that we were presenting to Columbia Records, but that Columbia vice president didn't get back to us. So Bolray Fleming met with the president of Polydor Records. His name was Jerry Schoenbaum at the time, and Jerry Schoenbaum asked him to let him hear the album, let him hear the music. And he did, and he loved the music and signed us immediately to our very first record deal. So we have to take our hats off to Bolray Fleming, who then became, down the line, he became our second manager. He was our producer at the time and then became our second manager. Our first manager I'm skipping on his name right now. The name will come to me in a minute.
That's okay.
Sid Bernstein. Sid Bernstein had brought the Beatles to the United States.
Wow.
And I, you know, saw that, went to Sid Bernstein's office and met with him and gave him an introduction to Mandrill, and he signed us, you know, as a manager. And Bolray Fleming was our first producer. Our second producer was the great Alfred Brown, who was part of the Symphony of the New World. That's a whole other history. We ended up, you know, playing at Philharmonic Hall with the Symphony of the New World, doing all of Mandrill's music with an 80-piece orchestra, a 200-voice chorus. And that was Alfred Brown, who's not alive anymore. The late Alfred Brown was involved. He was our producer at the time and a viola player, and just was involved in our musical history as well.
Wow, your recollection is amazing. I don't know how you can remember all this stuff. Now, I want you to remember that we have listeners overseas and stuff, so, and listeners here in the United States, obviously, and then just around the world. And so I do have it open to the listeners. And this is the question from the listeners. And in regards, that's why I asked you about 1970, but this is when your record came out. So just the question was, when you signed to Polydor in 1970, which we know it was 68 now, were you happy that the label would support your musical vision?
Yes, we were. One of the things that we were blessed with, Polydor Records is a subsidiary of a company based in Germany called Deutsche Grammophon. And unbeknownst to us, you know, we weren't aware of the details of that when we signed with Polydor Records, but the fact that they were part of Deutsche Grammophon was one of the largest labels in the world at the time. And they had distribution throughout the world. They had distribution throughout Europe, throughout Africa, South America. I mean, and that ended up being such a blessing for us, because our albums on Polydor Records were distributed all over the world, not just in the United States. I mean, we had major hits, you know, in the U.S., but unbeknownst to us, you know, in the early days, we had hits all over the world, and it allowed us to travel to places that we had never been to before. For example, we went to Venezuela, and we played a concert, a 20,000 seat hall concert in Venezuela at a place called Poliedro. Now, we hadn't been to Venezuela before, but the fact that Poliedro was so powerful internationally, you know, we had a hit record in Venezuela. And it allowed us to play a 20,000-seat hall that was sold out, you know, that was true of a bunch of other places as well. We played in Morocco. We played in Europe at a variety of venues, and a lot of that had to do with the fact that Polydor and Deutsche Grammophon were able to get our records all over the world. And so we were blessed, you know, with that situation, without even being fully aware of it in the beginning.
Wow, that's just absolutely amazing. Now, there was something else you mentioned that I have to do, but one thing that just came across my screen is, did you just have a birthday?
Yes. I did on the 5th of November.
5th of November.
And you know, that's a Scorpio. My brother Lou had a birthday on the 25th of October. My other brother, Wilfredo, had one on the 8th of October. And then Carlos, had his back is on May 25th. His birthday is. But
one of our associate producers, she told me to make sure, because she's the one that brought it to our attention. Her name is Astrid, and she's in Amsterdam, and she told me to make sure I tell you happy birthday. So happy birthday, Astrid, and all
Thank
of us.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate that.
I just had a birthday too. I am another Scorpio.
When was your birth? When was yours?
October the 30th.
You are Scorpio as well.
That's right. I'm joining the brothers.
Yes. How beautiful.
Happy
birthday to you as well. That's good.
That's good. Thank you so much. All right, so there's a couple things that's happening now. I want to try to keep moving forward. You have so much to talk about, so much history for me, and so many things I want to go. Can you share real quickly before we get to your song? And a lot of us, I know me as a young man, by the time I finished high school and I decided I wanted to be a professional musician, I decided I was going to college. I was having a very difficult time with dyslexia, so I was like not going to go to college. But my music, see, that's another thing about music. It made me go to college because I thought I needed to go to college to be on the same level. I was chasing Stanley Clark because he was right around in Philadelphia with us, right? Right. And so I was like, well, he went to Philadelphia Music Academy. I got to go to either Philadelphia Music Academy or find a school that I can go to. And Philadelphia Music Academy was hard. It was tough to get in there. And so, but I ended up finding a college that would accept me. And just was like, yeah, come on, we want you. And so I ended up going to college. But when I went to do the paperwork, I had to pick a minor. Right. So if music is your major, what's your minor? And I didn't think about that. I was like, I don't care. But then I realized, you know, from a business point of view, I do need to have something to fall back on. And a lot of musicians or people, and not just musicians, but, you know, because we are musicians, I wanted them to know that how important it is for us to have a backup plan. And you had an amazing backup plan. So can you tell us your story as far as how did you become a doctor? In the process of this amazing career, you became a doctor as well. Can you share with us how that all worked?
Yes. Well, academics were always a part of our upbringing. You know, we weren't necessarily planning to be professional musicians when we were younger. We were in school. We were just taught by our parents to just be the best that you could be. And I academically always excelled. I had the vision from a young man of going to Harvard, and I ended up, doing well enough in junior high school to be able to get a full scholarship to Harvard. I was one of, back in the day, I graduated from Harvard in 1965, and I was one of 10 black men at Harvard at the time. That was when Harvard was separate from Radcliffe. We had 10 black men, and I was very fortunate to be counted among the 10. And today, you have hundreds of black and brown individuals at Harvard. We laid the groundwork, for that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really, very, very, very fortunate to be able to do that. I had assistance. I had support in terms of that. There was a gentleman, the late Bill Christman, who assisted me, and my roommate at the time, Mark Glasser, who is now an OBGYN specialist. Bill Christman was someone that assisted us in the beginning in terms of just showing us the way, guiding us. I was able to visit I'd gotten a full scholarship to Columbia. Many individuals said, I just go to Columbia. You really don't want to go to Harvard. It's too, everybody has their noses up in the air and all of that. And I didn't quite believe that, but this gentleman, Bill Christman, assisted me in going to Harvard initially to meet with the dean of students. I met with an individual, I don't think he's alive now, Dean Glimp was his name, and I also met with many of the students and found that Harvard was a very beautiful place. They had mm-hmm. young men just like me that were doing their thing, and I was not intimidated. Many individuals told me, go to Columbia, you've been accepted at Columbia, just go there because everything is going to be cool. At Harvard, things are not going to be cool. And I didn't agree with that, and I went to Harvard, and it was very, very special. And I'm very, very, very glad that I was able to do that. And,
wow, that's amazing.
So academics were a part of my life as well. Music, became a part of my life also. And as I said, the whole academics was something that my parents encouraged, and we all did well in school. My brother Carlos went to Manny's College of Music, as well. After we all went to Boys High School, Carlos went to Manny's College of Music, learned to do a lot of arranging and has been a significant part of all of the arrangements on our album. Claude Cave, who was trained as well. I did mention the fact that Claude didn't come from the Village Voice ad. Claude was playing around the corner. He was playing at an after-hours club around the corner from my mom's beauty parlor when my brother Lou and Carl visited the after-hours club and jammed. They jammed on a song called Herbie Mann's song called "Coming Home," and that's what influenced Claude Cave to join the group.
Wow.
And we were very, very cool. When our first album, I should mention, we recorded it at Electric Lady Studio. We recorded our first four albums at Electric Lady Studio, which was Jimi Hendrix studio. We were able to meet with Jimmy back in the day, when he was in the studio, and we were talking to him about possibly after Mantle you know, was starting to make a name. We were talking to Jimmy about possibly, you know, doing sharing the stage, maybe up in Harlem, maybe at the Apollo. He was open to that, but then he went away and never returned. You know, he died when he was on tour, you know, in Europe, and
right,
that
right.
never became a reality. But
we
were very very blessed to be part of. We recorded more albums at Electric Lady. I believe that Jimmy never recorded a full album at Electric Lady. He recorded a lot of demos, you know, at Electric Lady, and we were fortunate to be able to record four of our albums there.
What a nice name.
Yeah, it's an
lady.
Amazing studio and
really?
An amazing
wow.
environment.
Is it, does it still exist?
Yes, it does. It's still going strong as far as I'm aware.
Wow, that's awesome. And that's in New York?
That's in New York. I believe it's, if I remember, it's on 8th Street in the Village.
Okay.
8th Street in the Village is where the Electric Lady Studio is. When you go, it's down in the basement. You go into the basement, and it's just the artist, all the walls are painted in a psychedelic manner. And,
of course.
It's a special environment, man. You
yeah,
know, when
yeah.
You, when
I
you,
bet.
When you go in there.
All right. Well, you know, I have more questions for you, but before I get to the other questions, I want to get to the gift of life. And I want you to kind of share with us, and we're running out of time here. I got only see. All right, so the gift of life. And thank you for being patient with us and hanging out. Your story is just so deep, man. It's so beautiful, and it's something that we need. So thank you for providing that information. It's awesome. You want to share a little bit, Dr. Rick, about the gift of life before I play it?
Yeah, the gift of life is a song on our new album. It's a very, very, very powerful song talking about our history. We come from a place that's so beautiful, you know, and it's just talking about Africa, the motherland, and where we came from. Some of the words that we have in the song, no reason why parents should cry watching their sons and daughters die. That's dealing with the whole thing that the whole police brutality situation where black and brown men and women are being, you know, gunned down by our officials, you know, and
right.
That's part of the song as well. The individual, the brothers are singing on it, but we're joined by an amazing one of my favorite vocalists, Dwight Tribble. Dwight Tribble is an amazing vocalist, and he's doing the lead vocal on that particular track, and it's really very, very, very. Special. Dwight Tribble has his own album. He has an album called Living Waters that you know, your audience should check out. It's really quite powerful, and we are very fortunate to have him on the album. He is part of an organization in Los Angeles called the World Stage. He's the director of the World Stage. There's so much has been coming out of the World Stage. It's historically an amazing place, and Dwight is involved with that place at this time, and
yes.
is on this album as well.
Okay, all right. So we're going to take a listen, but I want you guys to know I'm only going to play a snippet of this because we want you to support and go out and buy the record. Okay, so you'll get a snippet of this song called "Gift of Life," and this we will be right back with Dr. Rick Wilson right after this. Man, oh man, that was awesome, man.
So, hey man, hey, yeah. Hey, Tony Quaid here. Can I interject something real quick? What else?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey man, Rick, man, that I met him at Lou's Homegoing, and that's a beautiful brother, man. That dude just got a glow around him, and I didn't even know who he was. We were just talking while we were waiting for you, man, and then you know once I got familiar with him, his voice is just magnetic, man. That is, I just want to say this real quick. You guys got such a good conversation going on. I'm just flowing with it. But if you, for the audience, go up to mandrelmusic.com, the box set that's a part of, you get a lot of stuff with that. I know, Rick, I don't want to put you on the spot, man. You guys are going good. But I just want to, you know, throw my hat in the ring for Mandrel. This thing is a collector's item. You got a coffee table book, and the history that you've been talking about, Rick, I'm seeing pictures, man. Anybody that gets that set is going to not only get two vinyl albums with, as well as that song and others, but you also get a piece of Mandrel history. I just had to say that because I'm sitting now, man, trying to see whose lawn I can mow. I cut some grass or clean out some gutters or something so I could have a – seriously, you guys did an incredible job, and Dwight is just awesome, man. Just an awesome add-on.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tony. On that song, in addition to – was the great Ron Carter is actually playing bass on that song. And Ron Carter was with us over 50 years ago on our very first – couple of albums as well, so we were very blessed to have him return with us 50 years later he's playing the bass on that song on Gift of Life. I should also mention my brother's son, the one son Lion Ra, Rais Wilson is doing, we didn't get to that part on the song, but he's doing a great rap on that particular song as well. And also should mention on this album we have the great Roy Ayers, we have Kamasi Washington, both Roy Ayers and Kamasi Washington are performing on a song called Old Fashioned Dance. I believe that you may be playing that on this interview as well. But we were very fortunate to have a lot of great players participate on this album with us. It's really quite a very special project for all of us. In addition to the Wilson brothers, you have these great musicians performing. Gerald Albright is a song called Sunshine that Gerald Albright is just blowing amazingly, you know, that you need to check out as well. But I just had to interject that.
Oh, that's awesome. So listen, I have one more question from the listeners before I let you go. Can you hang in there for one more question?
Sure. No, I'm here.
Oh, okay, cool. Great. Okay. So what is the secret to writing music that incorporates Latin jazz, funk, and soul with African-based rhythms?
Well, the secret, I believe, is the background of Mandrel, the fact that we were born in Panama, a Latin American country. We came to Bed-Stuy, to Brooklyn, New York. The secret, I believe, is our background. So we grew up with the Latin-based environment. And then we also have been listening to African music as well. So, and then funk has been a part of our lives forever. You know,
we grew up with
the, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, who we were fortunate to share the stage with, a bunch of individuals that were part of our environment. We were able to, yeah, we 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 played the Apollo on a bunch of occasions. We initially started in the Apollo, initially with a group called Joe Simon, just a funk-based group, and then it was Mandrill and James Brown, and James was our, we were a special guest to James Brown, then went on to play the Madison Square Garden with James and a bunch of other places as well. Then we were at the Apollo where LaBelle was our special guest. You know, we were just very fortunate to be in that environment. And that's where the great Duke Ellington saw us playing at the Apollo when we were headlining the show with LaBelle, and then asked us to join him at Philharmonic Hall. So Mandrill was fortunate and to be asked by Duke Ellington to join him at Philharmonic Hall. That was an amazing night of music.
It sounds like
the history. And my dad drove a bus in Panama, and in addition to being a longshoreman, and always had a locket on the rear view mirror of Duke Ellington when he was in Panama. So it was kind of amazing. So Duke Ellington was a significant icon for him. And then to have his son share the stage with him, you know, years later, was just an amazing treat for both of my parents who attended that concert.
Okay. Doctor, I want to ask you a doctor's question. And
what is it?
And it has to do with the heart, which you're a specialist in. And
yes.
I shared with you yesterday, I think it was, that, you know, I lost two friends from my group Dynasty of heart attacks. And just random heart attacks. And one of my friends had been working out in the gym, and then he got in his car and he had a heart attack and passed away. Do you have any advice for us in regards to working out, just randomly working out without having the care of a doctor assist you? Because I understand that it is not recommended that you just start working out randomly without making sure you looked at. So because that's your specialty,
right,
I want to ask you.
I do have some important things to say regarding that. First of all, my condolences regarding both of your partners that ended up, you know, with heart attacks. My brother Lou also, made his transition because of an acute heart attack. So it's a very, very common problem that we're dealing with. As a cardiologist, I recommend that before one starts any strenuous exercising at an older age, I think it's important to get checked out, be evaluated by your internal medicine specialist or cardiologist. Just doing a treadmill will check to see if there are any threatening issues that one needs to be aware of. You're getting an evaluation, you know, with just a treadmill and some cardiac workup is extremely important before you go out there and try to do any major exercising, because that's an issue that a lot of middle-aged folks deal with. You know, they feel fine and they go out to try to, you know, do strenuous exercising without checking to see if there's any kind of threatening coronary artery disease present. And I think just a simple treadmill will help to differentiate, you know, will help to elucidate any threatening disease before you go out there and start to do a lot of strenuous stuff. So my recommendation to those individuals that, you know, men and women who may want to exercise, you know, get checked out simply by, you know, going to your internal medicine specialist, who should be recommending you, you know, to a cardiologist to just do some basic studies, you know, particularly the treadmill. I think that's the important aspect. of what I'm talking about. Doing a treadmill will clear up whether or not there's any threatening stuff going on. At least it should. Not always do we have all the answers with that. There's sometimes important to do other more invasive studies like coronary angiograms. My brother had a treadmill and he ended up, he didn't. There were some questionable findings that they didn't follow up on. He should have had an angiogram, which is going looking into the arteries. He should have had that done and never did. And then he ended up dying suddenly of a heart attack as well. So it's an important situation that's close to my heart, and I recommend that each individual, take it seriously and do the right thing before you get out there and try to do strenuous exercising.
And, and the one simple thing that drives me crazy is that a lot of us men, we don't want to go to the doctor. We just think, it'll be all right, no big deal. And it's just statistically that mindset is not working out in our favor.
Right.
We're losing the battle. So, I hope that any of my friends that may be listening, any of the listeners that you take this seriously because, especially as we get older, it's important that we protect ourselves by, going to see someone. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I want to let my partner, Don Fleming, who's going to do the next half of the show with me, say hello to you so he can at least say hello to you. Don, are you there?
I am here. What's going on?
All right. Well, you can say
Don.
Hello to that's Dr. Rick Wilson from Mandrill, and this
Dr.
is Don
Rick
Fleming.
From Mandrill. Man, I'm a big fan. Fence walk is my jam, even though it's, before I was born, but that's the jam right there. I'm a big Mandrill fan.
He's the generation behind me. So,
thank you so very much, man. And Wardell, really, I love you, man. I'm so pleased that we were able to at least start the conversation. This won't be the last. We'll be continuing to communicate with each other. But I really appreciate the work that you are doing as well. And stay up, man. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Stay blessed.
Yes, sir. So I'm going to play this last song, which is called Old Fashioned Dance. And I'm going to play another snippet. Is there anything you want to say about it before we go?
Well, Old Fashioned Dance, I mentioned that's our brother Carlos on the lead. All the Wilson brothers are singing on this, including Louis on every song on this album, by the way. The album has been, a long time coming. Lou Wilson is on this as well, but Carlos is doing the lead on this and is doing an amazing job. But Kamasi Washington, you hear him on sax. Roy Ayers is on vibes on this. Just an amazing, one of my favorite songs on the album.
Awesome. Now, I think that it's posted, the website is posted, but Tony, can you just give us the website information one more time before we leave?
Sure thing. I got a couple of things. Thank you again, Wardell, for being a gracious host. And Rick, man, you guys, it's just a good thing to be a part of. Mandrillmusic.com. And for those of you that are friends, Facebook friends with Rick, you get to see how he thinks about a lot of other things as well on the Drumside Chat, which incidentally is today. It's going to be a special Facebook live stream through the Mandrill Music Band page. So if you're friends of Mandrill, and you like what you heard, you want to hear some more of Rick's thoughts and muses, by all means, check us out. Go up to the site, get your piece of Mandrill history, and that's it, man. It's a wrap, man. Great show. And Don, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
I am good, man. Good chance to talk to you guys. And again, I'm a big fan, and I'm loving the gems that you guys are giving to the people. I'm really enjoying it.
Awesome.
Well, 50 years going strong with Mandrill, man. I'm in it for life, man. Thank you so much. Both of you.
All righty.
Oh,
Rick,
man.
I'll talk to you a little later on.
Okay, Tony. Yeah,
let me add this too, because Mandrill was to me, especially around late 70s, early 80s. I was born in 74, so I grew up on Mandrill and Fatback Band and all of these great funk bands, just how did you guys and all that funky music? How did you guys just kind of maneuver through the whole disco phase? Nothing bad about disco, but I'm just like, how did you guys kind of just stay true to the art?
Yeah, the whole disco phase was kind of a strange environment for music in general,
Yes.
We stayed true to what we believed in, We stayed true to what we believed in, just kept on going with the funk and the Latin. That's basically what we had to do. The environment was difficult at that particular time. Everybody was leaning in the direction of disco, and then rap and all of that. And there's some value to it, but we just stayed true to our roots, man. And that's what we did. Stay true as we're doing now. Just staying true to our roots, the rest will take care of itself.
Yes. All right, guys.
Before you go, man, you had talked about as far as your workout and your heart and things like that. But I will add this as far as some level of levity. Funky Monkey is on my workout mixtape. So I just,
man. Good workout song. That's Lou. That's Lou doing the lead on that. Lou Wilson.
That's
Lou
what I'm talking
doing
about.
Doing the lead on Funky Monkey. That's very powerful. Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you guys for that for the music and just the moments and just the legacy that you guys are leaving. And I'm a big fan, so I'm done, Wardell. I'm sorry to me.
That's all good. It's all good. This is all family. And Dr. Rick, we will keep your legacy alive here on Solar Records Radio.
Thank you
You're
so much.
Welcome.
Really much appreciated. Much love to all of you and to our fans as well, to your fans as well.
All right.
And they're all one. We're all one, as they say.
All right. All one. One love. One love. All right.
All right.
God bless. All right. See you guys.
Let's
bye, Tom.
Way down low, baby, and tell your friends it's time to go.
You and I,
we're gonna spend precious time together.
Close your eyes.
Just close your eyes and let baby, can nobody do it
like you do it.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, it is Indie Jazz Day here on Soul Art Records Radio, where we just want to just, you know, play some nice, good music, good company, good food. Ooh, man. I'm waiting for my food to come in here right now. I'm so excited. But anyway, guys, I hope you're having, you enjoyed this amazing interview that we had with Dr. Rick Wilson from the Mandrill. What an amazing man. And I, you know, and you know, the Mandrill on their album had a name, and he told us the name. I got to go listen to it to remember what the Mandrill's name was again. But I was just so excited that that Mandrill had a name. It was like, it wasn't just a picture of a Mandrill. It was an actual Mandrill that they went and took a picture of. That's cool. So, anyway, guys, so we got about another 39 minutes left in the show, so we're going to just kind of like, I'm going to do this section, and then Don's going to get the next section. Y'all know y'all like Don.
Oh, right? He's going to give me the section. Ah, nice. Nice.
Segment, okay. I was like, Don says segment. Yeah, this segment is coming up. I'm going to sound like Don Fleming. I can't get that deep, though. But anyway. All right, guys, I hope you guys are all well. And don't forget tomorrow, Throwback Thursday. So get your pictures ready and throw them back. Tell Don, give us some more throwback pictures. Come on, Don, stop playing around.
I got some from my, you know, what was going on through my mom's old stuff, and I found like a whole lot of pictures I don't even remember taking. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I had an experience today. I was watching, and I can't tell you my experience, but I could tell you the experience that I had today. The experience I had today was I was just working on programming a show, and I kept hearing this familiar voice on the TV. And next thing I know, I was like, who is this? And I walked in, and it was Will Smith being interviewed, and he was talking about his book that he just wrote. And his book just kind of reveals all the stuff that he went through in his life and who he really is. And he says, "It's, you know, Will Smith is cool. I mean, he's a cool guy. You know, he got a good life. He always happy and go lucky. But my real life, who I really am, who what I really went through, it was important for me to just be myself and let y'all know." Mm-hmm. And so that's what this book is about. And then he was sharing a couple of the stories in the book. And it just, whoa. I was like, that's my story. He stole my story. That's exactly what happened to me. And it broke my heart because it was a sad story. And so I was like, man, sometimes it's good that people write certain things, because then you realize, hey, I'm not alone in some of the stuff that I felt, you know, and I went through as a kid. Other people, you know, been through it too, you know, and they went on to be successful. And, you know, so it's crazy though, man. But anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking to it. All right, so let's get to the music here on Soul Art Records Radio. Oh man, I was singing this song the other day, but this is the GC Cameron's version of this song.
Thank you. every time you are near. Just like me, they long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky every time you walk by? Just like me, they long to be close to you. On the day that you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair of gold and starlight in your eyes of blue. Ooh. And that is why all the girls in town follow you all around. Just like me, they long to be close to you.
That is... that me, that takes me to that spot, man. It's just, what a beautiful song. Come on, girl, sing it, man. Just to be close to you. And, you know, it's one of those things that I have a friend that whenever she walks into the room, she takes the air out of the room. Everyone notices. It's like, whoa, man. I said, girl, you take up all the oxygen in the room when you walk in because people notice her. It's because she has a beautiful spirit and she's just a good, good person. And, but anyway, I started off the block with, it's a shame. Well, maybe it's a shame that I'm trying to sing it. And that's another one that's by, DC Cameron and, you know, the original singer of, Spinners back in the day. And so now he's doing his own thing as well. So, you know, we get to,
I love that version.
Yeah. It's beautiful, huh? It's like it got that reggae kind of thing going on, right? It feels good.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's like it's got a little island vibe to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Real nice. So Don Fleming, Wardell Potts, we just kick back, guys, and we're just kind of relaxing here with this great indie jazz music. And so, and then right after that, I went to my ex-boss, Mr. Herb Alpert, over at Herb Alpert.
A&M Records.
Yeah, right. He was the owner of A&M Records. And that song was called Rise. Amazing trumpetist. I mean, that instrument right there just seems so hard to play. It's like you got to have a lot of wind, you know, jaw power to play that instrument. It's, you know, at some point it has to become like numbness or something happens with your lips or something that you just are so comfortable with it now.
Yeah, you tighten it up. I think it's called like an embouchure or something. You got to tighten up your lip and push, you know.
Yeah, you got
on trumpet. I couldn't play it. I couldn't play the trumpet. So shout out to all the trumpet players that are out there.
Right.
Couldn't do it.
Absolutely. And then Sharon Marie Klein, Just to Be Close to You. And
beautiful song.
Yes, absolutely. What a beautiful song. So anyway, guys, I hope you're good. We got about another 16 minutes left in the show. Don Fleming is going to close out this next mix. He's going to close out the show with this next mix, I would think, 15 minutes. Yeah, that's what it looks like. 15. Yeah, so, but thanks again for tuning in, hanging out with us today. It was a great day. And truly, just want to say thanks to Dr. Rick Wilson of Mandrill for coming on and sharing his amazing story. Ooh, these guys have so much history. Good gracious.
And he's a heart specialist.
Yes, absolutely. So nice. There's this his story or something else where how they had to rush him back, like he'll do a gig and then he got into the limousine and they rushed him back to the hospital and he had to work and then he get back and go to another gig and then they get him in the limousine and rush him back to the, you know, he's going back and forth as a, you know, he's a doctor, a heart surgeon at the same time. He's a musician. Mm. Like, dang, he had the best of both worlds, right? So, you know, and we talk about a backup plan. He had the plan. It was like, I'm doing what I said I'm going to do. But the truth of the matter, he said that, you know, education was the key for his family. So, you know, the as far as him being a doctor, that stuff came first. Music was second to that. So, and it just so happened to take off. So, but he was a doctor in his mind, in his heart, and music just took off as well. So, you know, hats off to him. But still, always have a backup plan, because just because it worked out that way for him, don't mean it'll work out that way for you or for others, right? Like myself, right? So, all right, guys. Don Fleming, you got the floor, my brother.
Well, hey, I want to kind of second that and thank everybody for tuning in. Of course, it's Indie Jazz Wednesday. Make sure you tune in every Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You never know who's going to have, who Wardell's going to have on the show. Shout out to Mandrill and big fan of the funk, you know, from back in the day. But want to remind you also tomorrow, yes, it is Thursday. So you know what that means, Wardell. What does that mean on Thursday? Come on, man. Come on back.
Hold on. Can you hear me?
Don't leave.
I'm back.
Come on
back.
Remind the people what happens on Thursday.
I muted my mic for a second. Thursday is, we have a three-peat. See, I go with the basketball term. Three-peat.
There you go.
I start off with the, you know, my 60s and 70s and 80s music. Then Don Fleming comes in. Mine is 3 p.m. Eastern, and Don Fleming starts at 8 p.m. Eastern that evening. And he is mixing it up with the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And then you got Goldie Mac with the Cosmic Slack Shack. That's why I tell you to say it. Cosmic Slap Shack. It's hard to say. And he comes on at 11 p.m. Eastern. So, and we just keep it going. We just keep it going on Thursday. So come hang out with us and have a great time.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, guys, again, thank you for tuning in. I want you guys to have a safe Wednesday. We guys will see you tomorrow for the Triple Threat, you know. I'm going to close out little Robert Glasper from the album Black Radio from 2012. This is called I Yeah, featuring Chrisette Michelle and Music Soul Child. Until then, you guys have a safe Wednesday. Again, we'll see you tomorrow. We out.
I think beauty's overrated. Cause that's something anyone can be. Attraction, now that's something different. And thankfully you're both to me.
Cause I've learned in this life,
yeah,
you gotta be with someone you like.
What
you think we've got,
yeah,
what it takes to go the distance.
I can tell you now.
Oh yeah,
just we didn't